afternoon, America. Welcome to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. Happy April Fools, everybody. Happy April Fools. What a, I don't know, when I was a kid, this was my favorite day of the year. Because I like pranks. I like practical jokes. Anybody that knows me, anyone that knows me well, they know that I enjoy a good practical joke. And this was just my favorite time of the year. I remember being a kid and my dad loved Wheaties. And I had this great idea when I was little. I don't know, I was probably 7 or 8, maybe 6. I was a little kid. And I said to my mom, I had these pretend spider rings. It's a ring, plastic ring, but it's a spider on it. And I said, I want to put this in dad's Wheaties. She was like, oh, this is great. Let's do this. And maybe this is why I like practical jokes so much. Because, my mom encouraged me. And sure enough, he sat down to, I think looking back on it now, I'm sure he was in on the gag. At the time, I didn't know it. At the time, I thought, yeah, I'm totally getting him. But when I look back on it now, I mean, he feigned shock and surprise and, oh no, there's a spider in my Wheaties. What's happening? And I just loved it. I loved the reaction and I was hooked. I have been hooked ever since. So April Fool's Day is just, it's one of my favorite days. There was a period of time where I had this running prank war between some of the teachers and me. It was me versus the staff at Waterbrook, and we got each other pretty good. We got each other pretty good, and I love it. I love hiding behind things and jumping out and scaring people. I have just, I don't know, I just loved it. The other day I saw this clip on Instagram and I just laughed thinking about it. This construction worker, and the clip says, man dresses up like a bear and scares, his, I don't know, fellow employee or whatever. And this guy's walking with a hard hat and he's coming around the corner and it's legitimate. You can't act scared. You can't. I don't think you can. I think you have to legitimately be scared. I could be wrong. And maybe this clip was a setup. It just felt real to me. Guy's got a clipboard and whoever's got the phone camera, you can see hiding behind the wall is this guy dressed up like a black bear. And then you see the guy coming towards the camera and he's about to turn the corner of the building. And as he does, there's the bear here and they're outside. Kind of, there's woods all over. It's like this new construction site. The guy with the clipboard walks and then he rounds the corner. And there's this bear. And of course, the dude freaks out, turns around and just starts running. I mean, full steam ahead type run to the point where he's running so fast. He trips over his own feet, that kind of run. And he bounces right back up again because for all he knows, there's this bear behind him and I'm cracking up. I mean, I'm laughing hard. So, I send this to Lisa, who's the teacher who I've had prank wars with for years. And I just said, this happy Good Friday. Just, hope you like it. Just that kind of humor gets me. I love April Fool's Day. So happy April Fool's Day. There's some anniversaries today. Today is the anniversary of the election of the first Speaker of the House. Now, I talked about on March 4th was the first convening of our Congress ever, the very first convening. It's the baton is being passed off from the Continental Congress to the Congress that will operate under the Constitution. But there wasn't enough. They didn't have a quorum. They didn't have enough members show up, so they couldn't do any work. And so they meet again today, April 1st, April Fool's Day, and they elect their Speaker of the House. And we've talked about this. Frederick Muhlenberg of Pennsylvania, he's the first Speaker. And we've gone through the history of the Muhlenbergs. Matter of fact, March 4th, if you missed it, go back into the podcast from March 4th because we really dive into history class on the Muhlenbergs on that day, even though he was not elected on March 4th. He was elected April 1st today. So happy anniversary to the first Speaker of the House. And when you think of the Speaker of the House now, you just realize, oh man, there's a lot of turmoil, just a lot of upheaval. There's just a lot of who knows? Who knows what's going on? Oh, but to go back to the days of the Muhlenbergs, I don't know. It just seems like a fun time to me. That's all. And I love anniversaries. You know, we love history class around here. So we have to acknowledge anniversaries when they come up. There's another brilliant anniversary that we have to acknowledge since today's April Fool's Day. We have to acknowledge one of the best April Fool's jokes of all time. And that was in 1996 when Taco Bell announced that it had bought the Liberty Bell and renamed it the Taco Liberty Bell. And thousands bought it. Thousands of people all over the country bought it. It was probably, I don't know, just a classic April Fool's prank. And Taco Bell's like, ah, no, we got you. Just kidding. We did not buy the Liberty Bell. We did not rename it the Taco Liberty Bell, which, oh, it's just, that's great. That's the kind of classic stuff that used to happen before companies went woke. That kind of stuff. Oh, I love April Fool's Day. Just love it. There's another anniversary today, though, in all seriousness, that we need to acknowledge, and that is the 8th anniversary of America Out Loud. Congratulations to Malcolm on this achievement and the whole team here at America Out Loud. This is it's quite the achievement, actually, to have started something. And to watch it flourish and to watch it grow and become, I don't know, maybe, I wasn't a part of the vision in the early days 8 years ago, but I have been a part of building things and watching things grow and expand almost to a place that you didn't imagine. And I don't know, Malcolm's vision in the beginning. I don't know where he wanted to take America Out Loud. You know what I need to do, though? I need to. I don't know if anyone has ever sat down with Malcolm on air and just got the story. I need to do that. I wonder if he'd sit down with me and just give me the story, because stories are great. People love stories, and I would love, just personally, I would love to know how it all started in his head. In his mind, what was the vision? And did he see it blossoming into what it's become? I mean, it's literally become AmericaOutloud.news is a news force to be reckoned with. And I know I say it here all the time. It's where smart people go to get their news and information, but that's the truth. It's where smart people go to get their news and information because the news and information that's delivered here is the truth. It's not made up. It's not falsehoods. I don't, here specifically, I can speak for myself. I know every day when I get behind the microphone, I'm going to speak to you things that are true. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to try to, slant the argument in my favor just to make it quite so. Now, I've had people accuse me of, you need to check your source. Your source was wrong. Where I've cited, I don't even know what, but I mean, on several occasions, I've made citations and I've gotten emails from people. Oh, that source was wrong. You need to check your source. Breitbart's not a good source. Blah 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 blah. Whatever. And people can disagree with things that I say. And people might have a differing opinion. And I'm not talking about, opinion type things, but when it's factual stuff, the folks that are behind the microphone here on this network are going to speak the truth to you. And this is what makes the network so valuable, because people want truth. They don't want to be lied to. They want to actually be educated on the facts. They want to be educated on what is happening in the world. And the only way, the absolute only way to be educated and to receive a proper education is to be told the truth. If you're sitting in math class and you're being told 2 + 2 = 5, you hear me say this all the time. If you're being told 2 + 2 = 5, you're not being educated. You're only being lied to. And the judge in California with this whole Temecula Valley case, where Temecula Valley said, "Nope, we're not gonna teach critical race theory," and the teachers union sued him and said, "You have to, because the Constitution says in California that we have to offer education to the kids." And the judge said, "Well, then you don't have to teach critical race theory, because that's not education. There's no educational value in critical race theory. There's no pedagogical learning that takes place in critical race theory." Why? Because it's a lie, because you're being lied to. So what happens here on this network, on America Out Loud, is the opposite of lies. It's truth. People here speak the truth. And, Malcolm has brought in a team of people, a team of hosts, a team of talent, of both, writers and hosts, the hosts for, for shows so you have people that are speaking and people that are writing. And our views might vary. There's going to be, matter of fact, I was on Viewpoint over the weekend with Malcolm and Jody, Nurse Jody from Nurses Out Loud, Colonel Mike, Dr. Steve LaTulip. There were people on the show with Malcolm, and he was talking about this whole idea of freedom of speech. If you missed the show, go back and hear it in the podcast. I'm not going to represent it, but his point was, there are varying voices on the network, varying degrees of, right to left, center, left of center, right of center. And, Malcolm has been taking some heat from people. How come you're letting, these various voices come out? I thought this was a conservative network. And so that was the point of our conversation. And Malcolm is interested in, presenting perhaps a variety of ideas, which, personally, I support him and that endeavor. But even so, I think that Malcolm would put his foot down if there were falsities being spoken. And that's not what you're going to find at this network. You're going to find people speaking the truth. There's truth being delivered. Now, my opinion might be further right than others, but and that's fine. And I've got people that write in and share that thought with me. Why do you have to be so right? And that's not their verbiage, perhaps, but I think that's the tone, and it is what it is. I mean, that's who I am. I'm to the right. And that's the way it's going to be. That's my viewpoint. That's the way I see things. I'm to the right, but I'm always going to give you the truth. I'm not going to lie to you. Just not going to do it. And that's the point here. That's the point of this network. And I just want to say congratulations to Malcolm on starting this thing, on the achievement. Again, I don't know if he knew where it was going to go 8 years ago, but it has just exploded. It's blossomed. And I think I'm gonna reach out. I'm gonna ask him if he what he thinks, if he'll come on and give us the story, because people love a good story. And I want to know how it all began. I want to know how it started. I want to know what was going on in his thought process, what made him tick, what made him decide that it was time to start this, to start America Out Loud. And then, the talent. How did the people come on board? Dr. McCullough is, where did he, where and how? How did everybody come on board? I don't know if, it's that kind of stuff I like. I like to hear the stories. I don't know. He's busy. I don't know if he'll have time, but I'm going to ask him. I'm just going to reach out. I mean, I put it here on the air. I'm just coming off the top of my head just right now. And I'm going to ask him, see what he says. So congratulations again to Malcolm and to the whole team here at America Out Loud on eight glorious years. Oh, April Fool's Day. Absolutely love it. Just love it. Perhaps I'm working on some April Fool's gags of my own. And those that know me, just be on the alert. That's all I'm saying. Just be aware. Just be aware. Do you think that it was an April Fool's joke when Biden, did you see this the other day? I think he made this announcement on Friday. I think it was Good Friday. I didn't see this till after the show. Matter of fact, I don't think I saw it until Saturday, that he declared Easter Sunday to be Transgender Day of Visibility. Do you think that was an early April Fool's joke that he was, just kidding around, just out there joking around with the good old boys in the White House one day and just, you know what, let's let this would be a great Easter or a April Fool's joke on Easter. Let's declare, let's announce, let's make it Transgender Day of Visibility. Unfortunately, I don't think he was joking. I mean, it's a joke to me. It comes across as a joke. I don't think Biden was joking, though, when he officially proclaimed that Sunday, Easter Sunday, the day on which billions of Christians celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he proclaimed that day as Transgender Day of Visibility. What? What? Does this man want to be reelected? I almost think, you don't really want to be reelected, do you? You don't really care. Or maybe it's he doesn't mind and he can go ahead and say these things because he knows he's got a cheat machine that's at work night and day feverishly out there just ready to go, ready to just stuff those ballots. We got the best cheat machine around. I can say whatever I want. I can offend the entire Christian population in America, and I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry. I'm not even concerned that this coming November there's an election. I'm going to offend the majority of the country, and I'm going to offend them deeply. I'm going to offend them deeply and personally by declaring. This has got to be an April Fool's joke. By declaring that Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, is Transgender Day of Visibility. I don't know. He said, he okay. Here's his words. I know you saw it, and you probably don't want to hear it again. I get it, but I need us to experience this together. Okay, can we just have this moment together? Where the audience and I, or we just kind of mentally become one in this moment. Okay. Here's what Biden said. Here's the proclamation. All Americans, join us in lifting up the lives and voices of transgender people throughout our nation and to work toward eliminating violence and discrimination based on gender identity. Let's avoid discrimination based on the fact that some men pretend to be women. Some women pretend to be men. We will honor the extraordinary courage and contributions of transgender Americans and reaffirm our nation's commitment to forming a more perfect union where all people are created equal and treated equally throughout their lives, except Christians. And that's why on the most important, perhaps, holiday in all of Christianity, I'm going to declare that it is not Resurrection Sunday, not Easter Sunday, but Transgender Day of Visibility. Now, the second part is my own. It's my own adding. All right. It's my own adding, but I don't see here how by him making Resurrection Sunday Transgender Day of Visibility, how we're creating a more perfect union where all people are created equal and treated equally. Okay, because you're not treating Christianity equally here by offending them on this day. I mean, make it April 1st. Make April 1st Transgender Day of Visibility. Why did you choose Resurrection Sunday? And then say that everyone needs to be treated equally throughout their lives. I don't. In each of his first 3 years in the White House, Biden has issued proclamations for Transgender Day of Visibility to be recognized on March 31st. All right. So, okay. Resurrection Sunday is March 31st. So maybe it was just the date. All right. Maybe he wasn't planning on it being Resurrection Sunday. But I don't know that we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt here. I mean, maybe we can. It just feels like it's an April Fool's joke to me. And it seems like, I don't know, there would have been some forethought to that. This is, it's a day that we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And you could have made this proclamation on any other day, but you chose this day and you offended a bunch of people, but you don't care. So April Fools, right? Right? I don't. All right. It feels like every day, though. Doesn't it feel like every day is an April Fool's joke in this administration? I mean, look around and just. I mean, doesn't it feel like things are upside down? Doesn't it feel like everything is backwards, that it's you're in the Seinfeld bizarro world where you have this president that supposedly received however many 80 million? This man you think received 80 million votes? I mean, today, are there still people that believe he received 80 million votes in 2020? I don't. I mean, if you do, well, I don't know what to say to you. If that's your belief, he can't string two sentences together, and the world around us is in chaos. The border is open on purpose. This isn't something that can't be controlled. This isn't something that they just, oh, I don't know what to do. We can't fix it. They're just coming in, and they're, what are you going to do? No, you could follow the laws. And this is an administration that fights Texas when Texas wants to defend their border, and takes Texas to court and says, yeah, that wire's got to come down, Texas. You can't put up your makeshift walls. How are the people going to come in if you're going to do that? Ah, it's like a bizarro world, and it feels like every day is April Fool's, when in fact it's not. Every day is not April Fool's. Only one day of the year is, and it's designed for actual funny pranks, not the pranks we're living in. All right, I'm up against the break. We'll pick up this more of this on the other side. I've got some Harvard news. Oh, Harvard's the new Oregon. They just can't stay out of the news. We'll dive into that amongst other things. On the other side of this break, you're listening to the Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity, unlike other supplements that don't work. Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order, risk-free. Love it or your money back, guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code out loud.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with Heal Right. Heal Right is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, Heal Right is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel and be our very best. Our customers will tell you how our products have made a difference for them, from improving immune health, regulating hormone balance, supporting gut health, to soothing the skin, even reducing the appearance of wrinkles, fine lines, and cellulite, and providing targeted support for mind, mood, energy, and even our body's own production of collagen. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in becoming your best self and fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. Can we call this the April Fool's edition? Is that April Fool's? Welcome back to the April Fool's edition. We're happy to have you joining us today. You know, you can find us here Monday through Friday, the 2 p.m. Eastern time slot at americaoutloud.news. We're happy that you're listening, no matter how you listen, no matter in which way you listen. We are happy that you are listening. So happy April Fools. When I think about April Fools, and, you know, I finished that last segment talking about, does it feel like we're just constantly living in this April Fool's Day? It's kind of like Groundhog's Day that just keeps repeating itself. It's almost as if April Fool's keeps repeating itself with this administration. And I wonder if the people in charge at Harvard feel that way. Do you think they just are in this constant cycle of every day is an April Fool's joke, and when is it going to end? An April Fool's joke that they brought on themselves, mind you. So this report came out over the weekend. Harvard University this year, the headline says, Harvard application numbers dip as other elite schools break records. Fewer students applied for Harvard after controversies ranging from a loss at the Supreme Court to the resignation of its president. All right, stuff that we've talked about at length. Harvard University this year received about 3,000 fewer undergraduate applications than last year, a modest drop that follows months of turbulence on the Ivy League school campus, a modest drop. It represents just over a 5% decline in applications overall. 5% decline in applications, that's kind of a big deal. When you've got 5% fewer people, fewer students, fewer teenagers coming out of high school saying, hey, let's go to Harvard. All right, so I've talked about the fact that we're winning, and this is another example that, you know, 5%. Now, are we still winning, though, when, in contrast, the decline at Harvard stands out, contrastingly to rising student applications at other Ivy League institutions? I don't know. Yale, for instance, saw a pool of first-year applicants 10% larger than previous years. So while Harvard is experiencing a 5% dip, Yale is increased by 10, right? I don't know. I mean, maybe that isn't, you know, a lot to celebrate. I just feel like it is, you know, when Harvard has become so woke, and the message, I think, has been hitting spot on, that we've been telling parents, at least here, look, reconsider sending your kids to Harvard. Just reconsider it. I'd send them somewhere else. And I hope that they're not reconsidering Harvard and sending them to Yale, since Yale is up 10%. When I say reconsider somewhere else, I think someplace like Hillsdale, someplace like Regent, other conser places like that, conservative liberal arts colleges, Cedarville, places that are where the students are going to get a rich education, a rich, robust classical education, and they're not going to be indoctrinated. Okay, those are the things that I'm considering and thinking about. I've told you that from time to time here, I'll recommend books. And I have recommended to you Up from Slavery, the autobiography of Booker T. Washington. It's a fantastic read. And I encourage you to read it. Get it for your kids. Have your kids read it. So I'm finishing it. I'm coming to the tail end of it. And I'm at the last chapter. Now I've got a few pages left, but I'm at the last chapter. And he is to the point in his life where Harvard came a calling. And Harvard, in a letter, approaches Booker T. Washington and they say to him, "We want to give you an honorary degree. We would love for you to come to our campus and be recognized and be, given and awarded with this honorary degree. But you have to come in person." And so, Washington's like, "Yeah, okay, I'll do it." And in his speech, because he cites some of his speech in his autobiography, and here are his exact words. He says, It may not be inappropriate for me to suggest that it seems to me that one of the most vital questions that touch our American life is how to bring the strong, wealthy, and learned into helpful touch with the poorest, most ignorant, and humblest. And at the same time, make one appreciate the vitalizing, strengthening influence of the other. I mean, he's talking about bringing groups of people together. This is Booker T's endeavor. Booker T. Washington, this is really what he spent his life doing, bringing groups of people together, black and white, rich and poor. Didn't matter their color, didn't matter their socioeconomic status. Booker T. Washington created a life for himself that was spent bringing lives together. And this is what he's saying here in his acceptance speech at Harvard, where he's receiving his honorary degree. And he's saying, "How shall we make the mansion on yon Beacon Street feel and see the need of the spirits in the lowliest cabin in Alabama cotton fields or Louisiana sugar bottoms?" He's saying, how can we do this? How can we bring those lives in the mansions to those lives in the cotton fields and bring them together and let them realize the strength of the other?" And then he says something very interesting. And he says it about Harvard. Now, again, I think he's written this book in 1900. Is that when he wrote it? Don't quote me. Don't quote me. I don't have it, the publishing date right in front of me, but I'm just off the top of my head, I'm thinking that. And so and this is what he's saying about Harvard at that point in time. All right, he's talking about uniting these groups of people, the rich and the poor. Okay. And he says about Harvard, he says, "This problem Harvard University is solving, not by bringing itself down, but by bringing the masses up." This used to be the way Harvard was looked at, because this used to be the way Harvard actually functioned. As a university, they solved the problem here of uniting the classes, not by bringing itself down, not by lowering itself, but by bringing others up. And how did they bring them up? Well, they brought them up through education. They educated them well. And we're not there anymore. We're not there. We are to the point now where Or now we're telling people here, don't go to Harvard. Whatever you do, don't go to Harvard. Listen to what, so in his book, Booker T. Washington talks about some things that the newspapers wrote about his speech here at Harvard when he's accepting his honorary degree. A Boston paper said, and here's a quote from a Boston editorial. In conferring the honorary degree of Masters of Arts upon the principal of Tuskegee Institute, Harvard University has honored itself as well as the object of this distinction. The work which Professor Booker T. Washington has accomplished for the education, good citizenship, and popular enlightenment in his chosen field of labor in the South entitles him to rank with our national benefactors. The university which can claim him on its list of sons, whether in regular course or honoris causa, may be proud. Harvard may be proud. Harvard can claim Booker T. Washington as one of its sons because they're bestowing upon him this honorary degree. They should be proud. But the editorial in the Boston newspaper continues. It has been mentioned that Mr. Washington is the first of his race to receive an honorary degree from a New England university. This in itself is a distinction. But the degree was not conferred because Mr. Washington is a colored man or because he was born in slavery, but because he has shown by his work for the elevation of the people of the Black Belt of the South a genius and a broad humanity which count for greatness in any man, whether his skin be white or black. This, my friends, this is powerful. This is powerful verbiage, and it's a description of Harvard. This is what Harvard used to be. So the newspaper is acknowledging that out of all the New England universities, Harvard is the first to bestow an honorary degree upon a black man. But the newspaper here is saying they didn't do it for the color of his skin. They're not doing it because he's black. They're doing it because he's a genius. Because Booker T. Washington has proved himself to be a genius here, which count for greatness in any man, whether his skin be white or black. It's the immortal words of Martin Luther King Jr., where we judge somebody not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. We judge them by their merits. We confer upon them degrees, whether earned or honorary. The degrees are given to them because of their ability. That's where their worth lies. It doesn't lie in the way they look. But we're not there anymore. Harvard certainly isn't there. This article here that talks about how their application numbers are down says that last June, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled 6-2 that Harvard's undergraduate admission practices violated the Constitution by discriminating against applicants of Asian ancestry, putting an end to a 10-year legal battle that Harvard spent tens of million dollars to fight. Harvard spent millions of dollars to defend their actions of racism and how they awarded enrollment to applicants. Yeah, tens of millions. And then, just 4 months later, Harvard drew renewed criticism, including from some alumni and major donors over its treatment of Jewish students who claim to be victims of pervasive anti-Semitism on campus in the wake of the October 7 attack. And then, of course, the outrage reached a peak in the days after when, you know, Claudine Gay is invited to the House to give her testimony, and then she fails to say whether calling for the genocide of Jews would violate Harvard's code of conduct of bullying or harassment. She couldn't say that. And Harvard is not anymore what the statement applied to them and how they used to be in Booker T. Washington's autobiography. They're not there. They have long past that point in time of their life. They have long left that. And therefore, Harvard is looking at a 5% drop in enrollment. Now, Harvard spends it. They still spend it because they say, oh, we received 54,000 applications this year. That's 4 or 5 years in a row that we've received over 50,000 applications. I mean, okay, you can spin it however you want. But the point is, the number of applicants is dropping. Okay, 54,000 is still too much, in my opinion. 54,000 young Americans actually wanted to go to Harvard this year. I mean, that's still too much. I mean, why do you want to go to a university? Okay, I get it. I get it. It's Harvard. It's the oldest, most prestigious university in the country. I get all that. But it's not what it used to be. It's not even close to what it once was. We know that. We know it. And so why are 54,000 young Americans wanting to go to a place that is no longer what it once was? Unless there's 54,000 Americans that have been indoctrinated and want to keep up with that indoctrination. I mean, that's plausible. But my friends, I still have to attest that we're winning when you've got a 5% dip in enrollment, because eyes continue to open and Americans continue to go, okay, I don't know about that. I don't know. I don't know that I want to do that. All right, I'm up against it again. More Harvard news, though, on the other side of this break. You're listening to the Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Well, the year 2024 must be the year of the Patriot, and AmericaOutloud.news will equip you with all the information you need to give new meaning to the words Patriot Act. For our actions always ultimately define our words. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Spike proteins help viruses enter into your cells, disrupting your health and your well-being. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body of spike proteins, which allows your body to repair from within, supporting your immune and respiratory systems, and regulating your inflammatory response. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. Welcome to our April Fool's Day edition. This is not an April Fool's Day joke, though. We're actually here. We're actually getting it done. You know what else isn't an April Fool's Day joke? And that is the Healright health bars, the micronutrient health bars, the metabolic health bars that you can get at AmericaOutloud.shop. They are not an April Fool's joke. They are the real deal. And they're delicious. Listen, if you're interested in your health and your long-term health, which I am, I'm interested in my long-term health. I want to be here in 10 years. I want to be here in 20 years. Matter of fact, I am part of the self-proclaimed century club. I'm going to 100 and probably beyond. I'm maybe even 120. And people are like, man, how do you want to live that long? And there's things to do. I've got things that I need to accomplish. I have people that I need to wake up. And so I'm sticking around and I'm interested in my long-term health. And these Heal Right bars they are right up my alley, because metabolic health is important to me. And it's so cool. I mean, it's so interesting. There's so many things to learn about the human body. And metabolic health is one of those things. Now, I'm gonna put a plug in here right now. I know I'm talking about the Heal Right bars. And I encourage you go to AmericaOutloud.shop or click the banner at AmericaOutloud.news. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. You'll get 20% off. These bars are delicious. They've got four different flavors: lemon, blueberry, chocolate, cherry, pomegranate. That's probably my least favorite. I know Malcolm loves that. And he was talking about it the other day, telling me he loves the chocolate, cherry, pomegranate. But he doesn't like the peanut butter. I love the peanut butter. And I love the caramel apple and the blueberry. Really good flavors. I mean, you decide. You can get the sample pack and get all four and decide which one you like. I like the apple or the banana peanut butter. Actually, that's my favorite. I like to have it with a warm cup of coffee. I'm just telling you, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. But the plug that I wanted to put in, if you're interested in metabolic health and it's just things that intrigue you, or you want to learn about your health, you need to check out the Energetic Health Institute. And I think they advertise here actually on the network. Dr. Ely, it's his program. I have gone through their cleanses, and I'm telling you what, the education that you receive, matter of fact, I don't know. I think they have just started an intestinal cleanse right now. You might be too late. You might have missed the start of that. But if you go to Energetic Health Institute and you just look at their, what they offer, I encourage you, check it out. If you want an education on the human body, on the metabolic function, you're going to be left speechless. Okay, that was just a quick plug here. And that's that, if you're interested, check it out. Check it out. All right. Back to April Fool's Day. Back to Harvard. I wish that Harvard could stay out of the news. I really do. Or I wish that if they were to enter into the news, it would be just good, solid stuff. It would just be stuff that said, hey, we're going to educate your kids. We're going to educate them well. If Harvard would go back to what it used to be, I would be on board. I would be all about supporting our oldest university, our most historic university. But I can't. I can't when there's other articles that come out, like this one that says, Harvard Law students amend bylaws to enact secret ballot ahead of vote to boycott Israel. Well, what? What's happening here? What's happening at the... At Harvard Law, Harvard Law School's student government is actively voting on a resolution to boycott Israel through a secretive online ballot, which, according to the article, is a departure from their bylaws. The bylaws require that it be an in-person recorded vote. But there's this resolution on the table, which can only be voted on through an anonymous Google survey. And that had to be done by Friday morning at 8 a.m. And I haven't seen the results of this yet. I know Friday morning by 8 a.m. Here we are Monday, April 1st. I'm curious. How is this thing shaped out? The resolution calls on all Harvard institutions to divest from entities that have a hand in the, quote, occupation of Palestine, without defining if Palestine includes only the West Bank, Gaza, or Israel proper. Harvard Law School government calls upon, and this is the wording, all institutions and organizations within the Harvard community to divest from institutions, weapons manufacturers, firms, academic programs, corporations, and all other institutions that aid the ongoing illegal occupation of Palestine and the genocide of Palestinians. This is the resolution. In an emergency meeting, the bylaws for the student government were amended earlier in the week to permit the secretive vote rather than complying with the usual requirement of voting by roll call or acclamation. So you could see who was voting, but now this is secretive. Well, now why is this secretive? Well, I mean, remember back in October when this signed letter came out, and law firms and big time donors wanted to see the names of the students who had signed their name to this anti-Semitic letter so they knew who not to hire. We need to know who not to hire. So, you know, now you've got the Harvard, you know, law school student government body saying, oh man, we can't do that anymore. We need to have jobs when we leave here. So this resolution is going to be done secretively. Yeah, there's going to be no names because all of us need employment. And we're not going to change our point of view. I mean, we're all haters over here. You know, every single one of them is, I shouldn't say every single one of them. Probably every single, let me throw the word probably. Probably every single one of them is anti-Semitic. And therefore, they've got to do this by secret ballot or they're not going to be employed. That's already been made clear to them. So here's what they say. Our body decided to proceed via voting by Google Form to address concerns regarding doxing and harassment. That's why. Because they don't want to be doxed and they don't want to be harassed. In actuality, they want to be employed. Come on, just speak the truth. Tell us why, really. You know, it has nothing to do with doxing or harassment. You've never been doxed a day in your life. And you probably have never been harassed a day in your life. You wouldn't know what harassment is. You just want to be employed. This was the student government's president, Swap Agrawal. That's his name. I don't know. I'm probably destroying your name. He continues, the student council voted at the outset of Tuesday's meeting to amend the bylaws to allow the student council to consider and vote on this resolution via a closed and anonymous Google form rather than a public list and in-person roll call. Oh, man, Shevitz. The article continues, the executive board of Harvard Law School's Alliance for Israel slammed the student government for holding the unannounced emergency meeting and failing to give them notice so they could voice opposition. There was no notice. It was just, hey, come on, we're going to do this. And if we're going to do it, we got to do it now. We got to act quickly. So here's what the Alliance for Israel had to say. We are deeply disappointed that Alliance for Israel, as an important stakeholder in the community, was not informed about this meeting nor invited to speak. Even if the student government had done all of these things, this resolution would still be widely inappropriate, the letter added. The fact that it has done none of these things makes matters all the worse. So they write in this letter, adding that the student government failed to pass any resolution condemning anti-Semitic attacks on campus after the October 7th massacre. Okay, there was none of that. None of that. But now they want a secret ballot of people to sign on to it secretively to divest from all things Israel. You know, that's their point here. So this is where Harvard is. These are the students that, I mean, I don't want to say these are the students that Harvard is creating. Rather, the students were probably already created when they got to Harvard. These are the students Harvard is attracting. And they're attracting these students because they're giving them sanctuary. they're giving them a place where these students can continue to develop their own bigotry, or they can continue to develop their own hatred. You know, there is this a breeding ground, I guess, could we call it? I mean, there's this breeding ground at Harvard where, hey, if you're a bigot, if you're a racist, if you're an anti-Semite, I mean, Harvard's the place for you. But in, you know, early 1900, Booker T. Washington's writing about how Harvard was solving the problem, not by bringing itself down, not by lowering itself, but by bringing up the masses. Harvard used to educate people. They used to have it as their mindset that they were going to lift people up, lift them up out of the mire and out of the out of despair, and actually educate them. And I fear that's not happening anymore, and it hasn't been happening for a long time. And it's evident. It's evident that it hasn't been happening for a long time. You know, when your president refuses to acknowledge that anti-Semitic remarks go against your policy on bullying and harassment, refuses to acknowledge that. And the reason the president refused to acknowledge it is because that's the viewpoint of the Board of Governors. After the president refuses to acknowledge that, the president wasn't fired. There wasn't outrage. The governors were like, yeah, all right, way to stand up for us. I mean, it wasn't until a period of time later that the president stepped down and the governors bring someone else up. It's not going to be anyone different. It's going to be someone who shares the view of the governors, because unfortunately, this is the state of Harvard. This is what Harvard has become. It's no longer, my friends, what it used to be. But we, you know, when you look and you see 5% fewer applications, I don't know, to me, that's a positive. That is a positive. That means that we're winning. We're on the winning side. We're on the winning team, and we're going to keep on winning. Why are we going to keep on winning? Because we're on the side of truth, my friends. And truth always wins. Doesn't matter. It always wins. Even on April Fool's Day, truth always wins. Happy April Fool's Day to you. Find a good prank and find someone to play that prank on. Just go after it with a vengeance. Happy anniversary to Malcolm and America Out Loud for 8 fantabulous years. All right, that's all the time we have for today, America. Thank you for joining me. Encourage your friends and family to get on the Dean's List. Let's unite to renovate the age.